Hi, welcome to the ESI What's Next podcast. I'm your host, Alex Feldman, and I'm taking you on a journey to learn about the exciting student entrepreneurs coming out of the ESI program. In the second part of our mini-series, Are Robots Going to Take Our Farms Too?, we're sitting down with Alexis Malachevs from AgroRobot, to learn about how they started the company and how they're helping farmers be efficient in their fields. As humanity continues to grow, we're putting a greater strain on the food supply, forcing farmers to look for innovative solutions to keep up with demand. How will all this innovation change the farms of the future? Alexis, thank you so much for sitting down with us today. Before we get started, can you let the audience know a little bit about yourself?
Hi, of course. I'll start my story where I come. I come from rural area. And after school, I started studying university, live in Riga, where I live also now. But as a hobby, I like to grow berries. And I imagine, you can imagine, I work here, I study here, and how I can do some work in my countryside. I can't do only in a weekend. So I need to do something or find people or solve this issue somehow. So I started thinking about a possibility how I can do remotely as we were in COVID time. And it's a similar thing come in my mind. Okay, it will be interesting if we will have possibility, you know, use some robot who will do my work when I'm out of this field. Then I started thinking more deeply about the problem, because this problem, it was for me, and I think it's not so actual for big farmers. But when I started to speak with farmers and look at this field, what happened now, I understand that find the labor force, it's quite a difficult task. Find good employee who work good, and his work process is he's doing quality job. It's a big problem for farmers, because everyone want to do work fast and not focusing on the quality, unfortunately. So I found that we have issues, like it's difficult to find employee. It's very difficult to find employee who work with high quality. It's quite important for farmers, because it's impact what we will get as a result. And the third problem, what I also saw, tools what we use, it's old tractor who has this emission footprint. So, and I start thinking, okay, how I can combine my idea about how I can manage my berries and how I can solve the issues of big farmers. And here I come with idea, okay, what if I will build an autonomous robot? And I think, yes, it's how I start this journey.
Can I ask you before, let's say, Is like getting a little bit into your background. It seems like you kind of immediately went to, all right, I want to kind of build a robot from this purposes. Did you actually study is that what you're actually so like what made you jump to, let's say, using a robot first? Is that something you studied, or are you kind of an engineer? What is, let's say, that might not be the most obvious jump for most people, let's say.
Of course, it was not like my first idea, and my background is graduate economical, so it's not related with robotic.
Okay.
In master degree, I have mathematical mathematic degree, but I think I have switched a lot of jobs with different focus. And I understood what's one thing that if we want, we can learn everything. So math, economic, engineering, some if I need, I can find the way and find the way how I can solve some particular issue. And when come this idea about robot, I thought, okay, it's a additional, I'll say, it's a new area for me. But I have some background in math. I have some background in programming, in a business, how we can create a business. I need additional some people with specific knowledge. And I started, okay, I know this, and I need people with, for example, knowledge about hardware. And I started to searching with people, and I spoke with them what I need to understand. Maybe they would like also participate in my idea and build this robot. So yes, and this way I built a small team. We are yet two for now, but we split our tasks. So my part is business and math and programming, what I know and where I can go deeply. And my teammate is working with more hardware, also with programming. And when I understood is that we can take all part what we need, then why not to try?
Sure. And then, so we talked in the previous episode, we talked a little bit about, let's say, robots are very, very good at solving like highly specific and specialized tasks. In this case, let's say, what challenge of the agricultural process did you say, we're going to focus on this part of the kind of value chain, and insert a robot there? What was sort of the specific problem within the agricultural space that you guys said, okay, we want to actually solve this piece?
First, when I come with this idea, I thought about a robot who will picking berries, but I understood that it's quite complex task for now, for first robot or for first prototype. And also, as we spoke a lot with farmers, we understood that they have another issues, and we focus now on quite specific task is that our robot will go beside the rows of berries. You can imagine a field with rows of berries. And he will go beside these rows and cultivate the ground. So quite easy task, I think. No, if we imagine. So yes, and as you said before, that robot is good in specific tasks. I agree with you because who created this robot? Programmers. We, as a person. And it's more easier to create something if we have focus on some small task. It's quite difficult to create something from zero to quite complex system, because we always will have some like errors, which will be like a result that our system is not working. So our focus, yes, it's for now, it's quite specific task, what we would like to solve. And after that, we will add, for example, next level, next task, what we will add for this. For example, when we will not, when we will have our first robot, it will be not zero level. It will be, I don't know, some higher level. And for additional task, we will add something, only some small code piece or something, and we will be able to do second task. So,
got you. I was thinking, listening to the story, I was wondering, is one of the reasons, let's say, in your particular use case, is one of the reasons that, let's say, berry picking is particularly difficult, is that, let's say, berries are most of them are very, very delicate? And I would imagine, maybe I'm wrong, that, let's say, making a robot act in such a delicate manner, so you don't, like, you know, smush the berries or whatever, would be pretty hard to do. So you'd almost end up with, you know, a lot of smushed berries, so to speak. Sort of a, I that's just what I imagine, right? Is that you need very, very good precision on whatever's doing the actual picking, to make sure that you don't actually ruin the berries. Is that an accurate way to think about it, or am I kind of making this up?
The picking, of course, is quite difficult task, but it's solved now, I think, for a lot of berries, because we can picking with some vibration, we can picking with airflow, it will not damage berry. But why we are not focusing on this? Because it's quite complicated for us. When you start from zero, it's too complicated, I think, to build this system, because it's a lot of mechanical, like, issues what we have. Like, build a robot is a lot of task what we have to do, but build a robot with additional smart parts, you can understand it's more than only robot.
Is, let's say, part of the reason you're approaching the challenge that you're approaching is because, to a certain extent, it has the least number, easiest number of kind of moving pieces or whatever to have to solve. So you it limits the amount of complexity that goes into it. Is that kind of that's how I'm almost imagining this right now.
I'll say that we try to create our robot like we split on the small tasks what we need to do. For example, first we need to create an autonomous system. Next is some mechanical part. Next is add everything in one. And when you focus on some quite you'll say very complex task, it's very difficult to split this task on a small pieces. So it's why we start with one focus, which is important for farmers. It's quite important because we are focusing on a customer need. We will not like to create something what is not necessary.
No, I was about to ask what you're talking about, the autonomous part. I wonder from that respect, because I imagine, for example, let's say farmers that are farming different crops, their soil needs might be slightly different. Are you sort of, let's say, optimizing for, let's say, a specific use case, like, I don't know, corn or rice or whatever, corn or wheat or potatoes or whatever? Or is it something that kind of you can have some universality where it can go across multiple different ones? It sounds like you'd almost have to pre-program it, let's say, one program for corn or one program for potatoes or whatever, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever.
For now, as I said, we are focusing on berries.
The
Berries,
berries.
yes, which grows in rows. So it's like currants, raspberries. But of course, in the future, we think about to grow as a company, as grow in our ideas also, and create robots for different tasks in agriculture. But for now, like for starting something, we need be in focus of something.
But am I right in the idea that you would probably have to create, let's say, a new autonomous program for, let's say, different crops whenever you expand? Am I right in that mindset or not quite?
I think it will be not like fully new. It's as I said, we are not starting from zero. After we will have something, so we will have some like, scratch, some I don't know, and then we will only like or add something or remove from this code and. Yes, and it will be enough, and this robot will work in a different space, fields, and areas. But yes, for example, if you grow different type, for example, you grow currants and you grow, I don't know, apples, and for different field, you will have you will need to use different programs. But we hope that it will be like two button click and you will switch. Okay, now I have an apple, I have like program A in the current, I have program B. So two clicks and robot is working.
I'm sort of wondering, because I imagine from, let's say, the nature of this business, I imagine, let's say, the use of your actual product would be very fairly, let's say, cyclical or seasonal, or you know, it kind of ebb and flow throughout the year based on the growing seasons. How are you kind of, let's say, from a business model point of view, how are you planning? Because I imagine, for example, you'd have, I don't know, a main time of year where you guys are very, let's say, active, either in usage or sales or whatever, but then you probably have a long part of the year where it's kind of nothing is really going on for you guys. So how are you guys, I don't know, integrating in that into to your business and in your projections and models and stuff like that?
Yes, we have seasonality, but if we are looking like globally, for example, in Europe market in Spain, for example, they have this season like all year. In Latvia, yes, we have winter when everything is stopped, and what we can do with we can work with technology. But like we are focusing to go globally, I think it will be not a big issue for us. And also, for example, the season in Latvia, in Baltic state, start from April to till October. So it's a lot of time when farmers have to work. And I think it's, and yes, I think it's important to find the way for farmers to work easier more effective.
But is, and this might just be, let's say, my lack of knowledge. In, let's say, in my head, based on what you said you're doing with sort of soil, isn't that mostly being used when you're actually like planting crops? Or am I kind of wrong in how I'm thinking about the actual usage?
Actual usage is really from April to October, because we have quite a lot of tasks to do. For example, in spring, we have, I don't know, cultivate, then spray our berries. In summer, we need remove weed beside the rows, also spray, picking berries. After, also we need cultivate, spray, removed weed, and so on. So it's a lot of task, which is like start, like you start a long marathon. You start in April and you end only in October.
Sure. And then I would imagine, because something that I've seen, for example, with let's say removing weeds, is I would imagine you're using some form of like computer vision or something to identify what the weeds are and to mm-hmm. capture them, basically, or kill them.
In future, I think maybe we will use, but in our focus are berries, and it's quite big. And they are not so necessary, this type of weeding. Mm-hmm. This type of weeding is necessary for, I don't know, for potatoes, for tomatoes, and so on, what we grow. But for berries, for some trees, I think it's not necessary.
Gotcha. Basically, because if my guess would be, basically the plants themselves, for let's say berries or trees, are so robust that like weeds are not really going to affect them all that much. That would be my
yes,
guess.
Yes. We cultivate beside these rows, and it's enough for them. So for this task, we do not need use AI, machine learning, and so on. But when we work with big areas, I think where we can use AI and machine learning is understand what condition these berries are. If they are sick, for example, somewhere, if we have some insect somewhere. So it's a lot of task where we can implement this technology.
Gotcha. So longer term, it sounds like you're gonna almost, let's say, go down a pathway to ensure, let's say, berry quality.
Yes.
And I could imagine, at least from what my understanding of berries, right, the berries themselves tend to be relatively sensitive. I think like the berries themselves, not necessarily the plants, but I think the berries can be relatively sensitive. A lot can affect the quality, and so that they're, like I said, kind of delicate or fragile. So a lot yes, can yes. kind of throw off the quality. And I don't know. I mean, if you're a berry farmer, I'd imagine you know this. Do you have a sense of let's say what percentage of berries are kind of lost or can't be used, or do like farmers like throw away because they're not good?
I know that if we, for example, skip one of our tasks, we can lose everything. Mm-hmm. So it's really sensitive area where they work. So if they forget spray from insect, so insect will eat all. All berries, so they will lose everything. If they will not remove weed, it also will not get the sun, and the berries will not be the same quality, and they will not grow as they need to grow. So they will lose. They will lose 90% or everything. So yes, it's very sensitive. And our goal when we build now robot is to ensure that we will be able to build robot with high, like, which will be able to work with high quality and ensure that the berries will grow, like, and it will take like maximum from what is possible from this field.
Got you. And let's say in terms of, not necessarily for the problem you're solving, but let's say internally for your company, what do you see as kind of the, in the short term, the next, I don't know, 3, 6 months, a year, the biggest challenges that you're working on right now that you kind of need to overcome to be able to take the next steps?
For now, we are working with like platform on which we are trying our algorithms, testing it, brewing. But next step is build a robot with bigger power. We need more power, like motors and so on. So, and it means that we need to build mechanical part which will be able to do this work what we are imagining. Because now it's a platform and we can't do, for example, this cultivation. It will not be able.
Just to translate this, like, for me making my own understanding, if I get you correctly, right now it sounds like you're almost finalizing, so to speak, the robot brain or mind, and then you're going to start working on the robot body is kind of your next yes. step. Is that kind of a good way to summarize it or translate it, so to speak?
Yes. We understood that we can create this brain that it's going in process, and now we are focusing, start thinking about his body, a robot.
Got you. Are with that in mind, and this will be kind of one of our last things before we wrap up. Do you find that do you think your team's going to need to expand to take on these new challenges? Or are you kind of looking for more teammates and colleagues and stuff to bring on board, and sort of who would be the right person if that's the case?
I will say that I would like to have maybe workers, yes, who will be in our team, and a person who know robotic, who know programming, because for now we need to create this robot like a finished product. And after that, we will focus on more on selling or marketing and so on. But for now, we need to show something, and that something is working. And why? Because when I come, for example, to a farmer, tell them about our idea, what we are doing, where we are now, they just ask, okay, show me how it works. And here is a gap mm-hmm. between us. So yes, for now we are focusing to a prototype who will be like closest to real product. So the people who can help us with that, so technical people, programmer, mechatronics, I don't know, mechanical engineers. Yes, I will be really happy to work with them.
Perfect. Let's wrap that up here. Any final thoughts before we kind of close out?
Yes, I will say that for everyone, that if you want to do something and you are just afraid that you do not know something, I think it's the biggest like mistake, because now it's everything is open. You can find everything. You can find people who can explain you what you do not understand. It's easier than we think. So if you want to do something, just do.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the ESI What's Next podcast. ESI is a program aimed at fostering socially responsible, environmentally sustainable student innovation through education and new venture creation. We're grateful to the European Regional Development Fund, Printify, SEB Bank, and Remy for their support. Tune in next week to find out what's next in the world of student entrepreneurship.